glad you're a Christian this morning. Who was it in your life that first shared the gospel with you? Think about it. Yeah, I see Betty Stalker here on the front row. She said, my mother, because some of you are like her, and in your womb, your mother and father were praying for you. They were teaching you the gospel before you could even talk. You were hearing the praises of God's people. I think about the need of all of those across the world who don't have a Christian mom and dad. And by the way, let me just state that missionary mom and missionary dad are the greatest missionaries in all the world. Don't get so involved in your ministries at church that you miss your primary ministry, your family. But I think about all of those who don't know Christ. Some of you had already made a lot of sinful choices in your life before you came to know Jesus. But aren't you glad you came to know him? Amen? But there's so many out there. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will they get that preacher unless they be sent? We're here to preach the gospel to every creature. And today there are multitudes in our own land and across the world that have yet to hear a clear gospel of Jesus. Now, we can't do it all. Not all of us are called to leave our jobs and our vocations to pursue a missionary vocation. But we are all called to do something that we find that we'll later read in Philippians 4. But it's what Andrew Fuller called holding the ropes. In October of 1792, the Baptist Missionary Society was founded by Andrew Fuller, right there in his home. And the first missionary that was sent out was the famous William Carey to India. And upon his trip to the unknown world of India, William Carey looked at the small band of brothers who had committed to supporting him in prayers and financial support, and he famously said to them, I will go down if you will hold the rope. And what he gets at is what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. Paul talks about the fact that he was able to go into so many different areas of Macedonia. In other words, he went from Asia to Europe. And when he got to Europe, he had no support. In Asia, he had plenty of support from various synagogues that had come to know Jesus, right? And planted churches in various places, but in Europe there was nothing. And the first place that he went, remember, was Philippi. Because remember, he had gotten the Macedonian call. And what he says is that there is a ministry of giving and receiving in Philippians 4 that we're going to talk about. And I call it adopt a missionary. The Philippians were, in William Carey's words, willing to hold the ropes for Paul. How many of you have been rock climbing? I am not willing to do that. There's a lot of stupid ways to die, and that's one of them. But if I was daring and risky enough to go rock climbing, I, and let's just say there was nothing to hold the rope except for a human being, I would want someone, you would want someone that you trusted to hold the rope. Can I ask you a question in regards to our missions program? Are you trustworthy, or are you willing to learn trustworthiness? Are you willing to learn? I get it. Some of you have been here and you understand missions. You've been here for 30 years. But there's others of you who are new and you don't understand the missions program. You just think, well, it's part of our budget, so, you know, it's taken care of. Can I just say it's not taken care of? Last year, we had a wonderful gift that really subsidized this year's missions giving. But we're asking each of you today and in the weeks to come to pray about how you can get personally involved, not with every missionary, but with at least one missionary. And if we all do that, there are 80 families in our congregation that could support 20 of our missionaries. That's four family units per missionary. That includes both the English and the Spanish congregations. And for me, this is encouraging. I don't know about you, but when I hear about the honor and the privilege of holding the rope, I get a little bit excited. Because I know that there's somebody out there that's on a spiritual rock climb. And they're going to places that God has commanded them to go. Where did God command us to go? Into where? All the world. Now, we have a burden for our neighbors. We have a burden for our family. Of course, we have a burden for our children. You may have an unsaved spouse. You may have unsaved aunts and uncles, of course. And listen, if you don't have a burden for those around you to be saved, as Spurgeon said, I wonder if you are saved. That when you come to know Jesus, you want other people to come to know Jesus, right? But it's not just in our Jerusalem. And it's not just in Judea and Samaria, in our own land, but it's into the uttermost parts of the world. And some people in our own congregation have been sent already to the uttermost parts of the world. Some of you have been there to visit them. Some of you have been to Turkey. Some of you have been to Morocco. Some of you have been to Spain. Some of you have been to Uganda. Some of you have been to the farthest corners of the earth. And there'll be opportunities in the days to come for each of us to make plans for that. But listen, right now, I want us to look at the biblical model of holding the ropes, what I call adopt a missionary. And let's just open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. Let's stand together as we read God's holy word. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, which was another church of Macedonia, including the Philippians, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. And I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. This is God's holy, infallible word. So what do we mean by holding the ropes? As you could see from this very text, there's a partnership with the missionary. There's a partnership with the missionary. And this is part of God's salvation plan. We are delving into cosmic realities, metaphysical realities. That is that, as we saw here, God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Father are all involved in salvation. Three persons, one holy God, right? And we get to be part of that plan. Some go, some partner with those who go. We all preach the gospel wherever we are, but there are some called to full-time vocational ministry like Paul was. And at times he was tent making, but his main vocation, his main calling was to preach the gospel by equipping, by evangelizing sinners, by equipping leaders, and by planting churches, right? That's the Great Commission. If we're not doing that, we're not doing missions. Now, there are some who support that work. There are some who are primary in that work. And we want to be part of supporting those who fit that Great Commission model. Now, there are those among all the churches within the church who are NATO. No action, talk only. We all say we love missions. We all try to pay attention to the missions reports. And I really think there's been a failure of leadership at Living Hope in the area of missions. And all of us leaders, not just the elders, but the deacons as well, we all take responsibility for this. There's been a failure of leadership in the area of keeping in contact with our missionaries. And I think sometimes we have this kind of mystical view that if we obey God in certain areas, that he'll just kind of take care of the rest. But, you know, we have to be intentional about every area of obedience, don't we? We need to seek the Lord, we need to teach the word, and we need to train each other and sharpen each other in all areas of obedience. That's part of the Great Commission. And one area where we have really failed is the area of connecting and partnering with our missions. Now, since I've been here, none of them have missed a check. Praise the Lord. But that's only one small part of our partnership with them. And I get it. There's such an enormity of missionaries, but it's taken us 8 years. It was 8 years ago when we formed the Living Hope Bible Church. And I think it's about time to get on track with missions. How about you? You with me? How do we do that? Well, adopting a missionary shows your partnership with missionaries. It shows your partnership with missionaries. The Philippians entered into a partnership with Paul's worldwide and world-changing ministry. How? They knew about him. They prayed for him. They communicated with him. And they contributed financially in a sacrificial way. Now, this wasn't some program designed by Paul. How in the world did Paul even get to Macedonia? He wanted to go east. God told him, go west. How did that happen? Acts 16. I don't have a slide for it, but it's verses 9 and 10. A man of Macedonia was standing there in a vision that Paul received by night, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he says, Luke says, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's a good conclusion. You hear a voice, you see a vision, and you realize this is God's future harvest calling to you. They got that vision in a dream. So the work of missions begins with a call from God. And that partnership is so vital. It begins with God, but there is an investment for us, for all of us. There's a buy-in. You ever seen that reality show Shark Tank? And they're trying to explain why the person, the billionaire, the millionaire should invest in their little company. What's the buy-in? Where's the profit? Well, I want to show you some profit that will blow Shark Tank out of the universe. And it's so cool because it has nothing to do with your financial state. It doesn't have anything to do with your bank account. Why do we partner with missionaries? First of all, for profit. I want a spiritual profit. I've been given the most powerful seed of life for dead humanity. And I want a profit. I want to make some money on this. Didn't Jesus have several parables about how we who have received much are going to be held accountable for investing in much. We can't just bury our talent. We've got to invest it, right? So much of Jesus' ministry prepares us for this text in Philippians. Paul says here, "You Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." Little background, who are the churches of Macedonia? Because that's who he's talking about. And he references them in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." Who's that? Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Who are the churches of Macedonia at this point? Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Help me, class. Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Now it says here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." What is he talking about? He's talking about the war that was going on against Macedonia by Rome. This was the Syria. This was the Afghanistan. This was the Iraq of the ancient world. But these were the poorest of the poor saints. They were bombarded by the Roman armies. Not only that, there was a severe persecution against Christians at this time. So they were bombarded by the world. They were bombarded spiritually as well. Think about this. And yet he says these churches, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, in this severe test of their affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a what? A wealth of generosity on their part, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Man, they bought in. They said, "Anything you need, Paul. You need relief for the Jerusalem saints? I'm there. You need relief in Thessalonica to plant more churches in Macedonia? I'm there." They not only gave of their financial resources and their time, they gave of themselves. They traveled. They gave of their pastor. As we know, this letter of Philippians was brought to Paul by Epaphroditus, very likely the pastor of Philippi. And he gave Paul a gift, a financial monetary gift from the Philippians. We can't give to God that which costs us nothing. That's what David told the Jebusite that sold him the plot of land that is now the Temple Mount. When David wanted to erect a sacrifice to God on that mount, he said to the Jebusite, "I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing." The Jebusite was willing. He was very willing to give David that plot for free. He said, "No, I'm buying this plot, and I'm going to give you a sacrifice for it. I'm going to pay for this. I dare not give God that which costs me nothing." In other words, our partnership with missionaries tests the mettle of our faith. It tests the sincerity of our heart. It tests the integrity of our life. He says no other churches were volunteering. And by the way, this 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Corinthians were a wealthy church, were they not? They would not participate with Paul. They needed a letter kind of reminding them of their responsibilities, but not the Philippians, not the Bereans, not the Thessalonians. The poorest of the poor saints were an amazing example to these rich, self-satisfied saints. So, you know, saints, it's not about where you're at financially. That's not what this is about. Because here we have an example of the Philippians giving out of their poverty in abundance And more than just financial support, they gave of themselves. Now, what's the profit? What's the profit that Paul is talking about? Let's look back at Philippians 4, 15 and 16. He says, "You Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into a partnership with me in giving and receiving." Giving and receiving. What's he talking about? They were giving of themselves. They were giving financially to Paul, but they were receiving fruit unto their account. Now, we have 20 missionaries that we have listed, and we have a list of those missionaries on the Welcome Center. This afternoon, we're asking, between this week or next week, after you pray about it, for you to adopt a missionary and to enter into the relationship of giving and receiving, to pick one out of these 20 missionaries to get involved. Now, are you excited about getting involved and partnering with missionaries? Are you? It says here, back in our text in 2 Corinthians 8, that the Philippians and the other churches in Macedonia were begging Paul to partner with him. They were begging. So what is this giving and receiving? It is us giving of ourselves, communicating, keeping in touch with them to know their needs. And so, why do we partner? God commands it, and we're to profit. We're to be profiting. And it's going to take some time. But how do we partner? We partner through personal connection. How could they, Paul, say that no other church entered into partnership with him in giving and receiving except you only? There's something significant to this. Paul wasn't just getting money back then. You couldn't just Apple Pay somebody. You couldn't just Western Union it. You had to find Paul. You had to send a messenger. If you wanted to send an email or a text, you couldn't do that. You had to write it down. You had to find a deliverer, someone who was faithful and trustworthy, and find Paul. You don't see it in the text, but in the culture, it's implied that there is a personal connection with Paul on numerous occasions in numerous ways. Now, Paul didn't have the means of finances and the means of communication that we have in the modern world. But can I remind us that to whom much is given, much will be required? We dare not miss out on this blessing. We dare not take advantage of all of the ways of communication. This morning, I got up, had my devotions, and I got an email from the Robinettes. Did you get that email in your inbox? And I know they're hard to read. We'll get you on the list somehow. We've got to get this going. But he sends all kinds of theological ideas, and they're wonderful, but packed in there are a list of prayer requests. And I got to pray. I got to give to the ministry of Jim and Cappy out in Uganda. He has an itinerant ministry throughout Uganda, and also he's going to the Ivory Coast. He's going other places, to the DNC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, I think. He's going as an itinerant evangelist to evangelize Africans, and I got to invest some time this morning in prayer, and I'm going to receive. What am I going to receive? I'm going to receive souls. I'm going to see fruit increased in the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. Personal connection implies good communication, prayer, and getting educated as to what the missionary's need is. That's how the churches of Philippi treated Paul. They had a personal connection with him. They loved him. They were willing to send members of their congregation to constantly find him, give him gifts, and give him communication. Now, all we have to do is hit a button on our phones, and we can text a missionary. If it's in a closed country, you can use WhatsApp. It's a wonderful app that encrypts all of your communication. You can communicate on a regular basis with missionaries and get excited about their work. One of the missionaries that I keep in contact with almost on a daily basis is Andy Bonikowski in Spain. He sends videos or audio updates or pictures almost every single day. And you know what? It's not a chore for me to read or see those things. First of all, they're brief. But secondly, I'm invested. I'm praying. I'm so emotionally and spiritually invested. I want to see the work of the gospel break through some hard hearts in the Basque region of Spain. I've been able to do this as well with the Leonards. And to see them planting a church of an unheard of number, 150 souls, right in the center of ancient Catholicism. I mean, there are some exciting things. How do we partner? Through personal connection. Partnership with missionaries. What is the fruit of that partnership? Well, he says, not that I seek the gift, verse 17, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Now, I've never been one to crunch numbers. I'm so thankful for my wife. My wife has a Bachelor of Science in nursing. I love her for that. She takes care of us. But she loves accounting. She says, man, I wish I would have gotten to an accounting. And she does a lot of, pretty much all of our accounting in our house. She just loves crunching numbers. And I love not crunching numbers. How many of you are with me? I love not crunching numbers. But the kind of things, the kind of accounting I love crunching is spiritual accounting. Now here he's talking, using banking terms, saying, I don't seek a gift. I'm not looking for the prosperous life. I'm not a missionary sent out where I just receive checks from everybody and just go on vacation. Not one of those kinds of people. I'm not seeking the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He understands that there is a financial commitment that is very real and palpable that has a direct impact on our spiritual lives. Now, I've been pastoring here in the Northwest suburbs for 14 years. I've been here at Living Hope for 8 years. And some of you, I know you support the missions program here, above and beyond your tithe. And there are others among you as well who support a ton of missionaries that are not part of the Living Hope Bible Church. And I know that some of you are tithing, some of you are not tithing. I don't know what the numbers are because I don't look at the books. It's none of my business. It's between you and God. But in our church, I know that's true. And there's some of you who have doubled your tithe. I have no doubt. You give out of your abundance. This is not some legalistic standard, okay? They tithed in the Old Testament. I'll start there and I'll stay there. That's all I have to do. No, God owns all of us and he owns all of that we have. He owns our bank account. Can we say amen? I think the culture has rubbed off on us individually and on us as a church. We feel like we must have certain things. Got to have Netflix. What does that cost every month? I got to be able to see the game live every week. What does that cost? Maybe I'm picking on some people. You know, if I don't mention in the list, you know what your thing is that you just got to have. Well, can I just make a jump in your priorities and put something right up to the top? You know what you got to have? You got to have a partnership with missionaries. Whatever other blessings you have, praise the Lord. It's great to see the game on Sunday live. But more important than that, or more important than that cup of coffee from $5, you know, you've got to get it in your heart, God's heart, that he wants us to skip $5 and give that $5 to that missionary. Yes, we should tithe. And we're going to get into why sometimes we lack, why we lack abundance. But let's understand that there is fruit increasing to our credit. Let me just say, number two, that there's a passion that we need to have for God. A passion for God. When we adopt missionaries, it shows that our heart is aligned with God's heart. And just let me ask you, do you have God's heart? Is your heart aligned with God's heart? What does he say in verse 18? I have received full payment and more. I have received full payment and more. What is he talking about? Now Paul goes into temple terminologies. He's talking with the Philippians. He's saying, you've partnered with me. And the best example I can think of, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, is a temple analogy. Can I ask you a question? How did the priests in the Old Testament who received the sacrifices, how did they eat? How did they feed their families? From the sacrifices. And so he says, I've received full payment. And in other words, in the Old Testament, when you gave the required sacrifice, you were given like a verbal receipt. You've given full payment for your sins. Now, they were looking for the Lamb of God, but they were in a temporary time of Levitical sacrifices. And they would need, if they needed to give a peace offering, they'd bring a big old cow. And it would feed a bunch of people. If you were poor, you'd bring a couple of turtle doves, right? Some people could only bring some grain and some oil. But he says, I've received full payment. In other words, you're giving according to the responsibility given by God. He's saying that's what giving to missions, there's a spiritual responsibility, just as those who gave full payment so that the priests could eat and feed their families. We need to get connected to our missionaries so that our priests on the mission field can do what they need to do unhindered from financial burdens. And often God provides in surprising ways, doesn't he? He provides for us, and then we get to in turn provide for others. Some of us, instead of, you know, getting an upgrade on the car, the computer, the iPhone, getting a new room in the house, you should do that. If God blesses you, please do that. But let's first prioritize. Let's first prioritize missions and give out of our abundance to missions. It shows our passion for God. It's an offering. He says, I have received full payment and more. It's a fragrant offering. He says in verse 18, the last part, he says, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So this not only supplies, like the sacrifices of old, the needs for our missionaries, like they supplied for the needs for the priests, but it is also a fragrant offering to God. It benefits our missionaries, but mainly it's an offering, a spiritual offering to our great God. It's an offering when the world sees you doing that. How is all this happening? I mean, we had people when we were missionaries, they'd say, how in the world are you here? And we'd be able to tell them, there are people sacrificing, people just like you, overseas, that are sacrificing for me to be here. Well, what's so amazing that they would do that? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. It's a fragrant offering to the Lord. It shows your passion for God. You're taking care of the missionaries, but you're also giving a fragrant offering to God. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. Do you believe that? Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 9:7. I wonder if it's written on your heart. Let me just close here and say that when we adopt a missionary, we have a promise from God. The saints of Philippi, they gave sacrificially. They had no money. They were the poorest of the poor saints. They were bombarded by war, and they were persecuted by the Roman government. And yet, in all of their poverty, what is the promise in verse 19 to the Philippians who had adopted Paul in a partnership? He says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Can any one of us measure the riches of Christ? How many sins has his blood forgiven you? How many universes has he created? How much does he own? Is there any limit to his power? Is there any limit to his knowledge? Is there any limit to his love and his care for you? Can you measure the riches of Christ? What is God's promise? They're yours. How many of the riches? All of them. How many of your needs is he going to provide for? Well, he's going to provide for your needs as long as you do A, B, and C. Is that how grace works? Is that how grace works? God wants to bless you. Amen? Now, sometimes in order to receive his blessing, you've got to receive his chastening first. But he's going to bless you. He is intent on blessing you. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. And goodness and mercy are following you. The word mercy is hesed. It's God's covenant love. It's following close after you. His riches in glory, which was manifested in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Oh, behold Calvary. Look at the nail prints in his hands. Look at the blood running down his head from the thorns that were stuck into his crown. The nails in his feet and the scar in his side. He bled and died. Omnipotence became vulnerable. He who created the oceans cried out, "I thirst." Can you see the riches? What is God not willing to do for you? If he gave his own son for you, what is it that God has to prove in order to show his promise that he wants to bless you? Hey, don't be so concerned about the accounting. I mean, be faithful, but don't be so concerned about your earthly bank account. You should be faithful. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't try to rob. You shouldn't try to do less at work. But listen, you need to get a hold of God's spiritual accounting methods. When you start working for God, you start giving out of your abundance, you're going to see more and more that God cares for you. Some of us are so stingy and we're so fleshly minded that we can't see God's blessing. I think of the words of Solomon in Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. In other words, he's scattering seed. He's losing the seed, and yet he's increasing all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. The more you lose, the more you gain. That's God's accounting. That's God's spiritual accounting. Listen, as we surrender all of ourselves, all of our heart, our life, our finances, we see that as we give, God will give back to us. Spurgeon said it this way: "In all of my years of service to the Lord, I have discovered a truth that has never failed and has never been compromised. That truth is that it is beyond the realm of possibilities that one has the ability to outgive God. Even if I give the whole of my worth to him, he will find a way to give back to me much more than I gave." You cannot outgive God. And this is a place of repentance for me, for our church. Yes, we've been generous. Some of us feel like there are so many needs. And so some of you have been so obedient, and you've given so much more. But there are some who need to get in on the blessing. Amen? God cares about us. We care about God's glory. Verse 20 says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Listen, isn't that our desire? Why are we giving sacrificially to missionaries? We give because the nations of the world need to worship the true and living God instead of worshiping themselves and worshiping the things of this world. We give, and it's a worthy gift. How can we get involved? How do we adopt these missionaries? Well, when Pastor Michael and I first came up with this idea, we literally had, I don't know, 5 pages of ideas. We gave it to Brother Jerry, and Jerry's like, no way. You're going to suffocate our church. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid, right? Or keep it simple, saint. How's that? We'll sanctify that one. Keep it simple. Number one, communicate with your missionary once a month. Doesn't have to be long. You can communicate them with Facebook, email, postal mail, and just look at their Facebook posts. Respond to every one of them. If you don't have a Facebook account, forget everything else. Just hook up with that missionary and respond to their daily or weekly accounts. Find out how they're communicating and start communicating and respond to them. I'm praying for you. And then pray for them. From time to time, let them know what's going on in your life. You can't do a daily diary to them. They don't have the time. But let them know so they can pray for you. And there's a personal connection. Communicate. But then communicate with the missions committee about any needs of your missionary. Often things will be happening in the lives of missionaries. We don't know what's going on. And then, you know how you get bitter when you're neglected by the pastor, the elders, and the deacons? Missionaries can get bitter as well. And we don't want to have a bitterness that would impede the expansion of God's kingdom. So communicate with the missions committee and then pray regularly for your missionary. We pray before our food. Maybe that's the time when we need to also pray for our missionaries. Find a way that you can incorporate praying for that missionary on a daily basis. And then give by faith to that missionary. Now, right now, if each of us gave specifically to missions and we gave your money specifically to that missionary, we would have to hire a financial secretary. So we can't do that. But we want you to give in thought of that missionary, but your gift will go to the missions program. We can no longer depend on the subsidies of others for our missions program. We need to take particular ownership of our missions program. And even though our budget includes the missionaries, think about our budget for missions as a subsidy because we're not financing it. And let us get to the place where we no longer as a church have to subsidize our missions in our budget, but we give out of the abundance over and above our tithes and offerings to missions. Now, we have a sign-up sheet outside on the Welcome Center, and we want every family unit to sign up for a missionary. On that sign-up sheet, all of our missionaries are listed with 4 slots because 4 times 20 equals 80, and that's how many family units, more or less, that we have. I think we have about 83. We're asking for you as a family, whether you're a single person or a family unit, to sign up for that missionary and commit to these things, which are also in your bulletin. You can tear it out and take it home with you. Once you sign up in the next few weeks, we're going to have a packet for you as to how you can pray with prayer requests, and we'll be able to get you connected with that missionary. Sounds exciting, right? Now, how many of you want to go rock climbing? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, you got a couple. Oh, some of the kids. You're just young enough to be crazy. Here's the deal. If we go rock climbing, I need someone who knows either how to tie a rope or to hold the rope. Amen? And if that's important with rock climbing, how much more important it is for our missionaries. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your kindness, for your goodness. And we ask, Father, that as we close this service and we build a connection with our missionaries, that this would be a day of culture change at Living Hope Bible Church. That this will be the beginning of a new culture of connection with our missionaries. And Father, we just pray that you would place this burden on the hearts of every one of our families. We ask in Jesus' name and for the expansion of your kingdom. Lord, I also want to pray, Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know Christ, that they would come to you. Lord, we've preached about the need of preaching the gospel, but Lord, I pray if anyone here who does not know that Jesus Christ has died on Calvary and rose again for their sins, that they would receive that gift by faith today. And Lord, may you expand your kingdom, not only in the farthest corners of the world, but right here at Living Hope Bible Church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.